Nittai Gauranga Jaya Gaura Hare Nittai Gauranga Jaya Gaura Hare Nittai Gauranga Jaya Gaura Hare Nittai Gaura 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 Hare Gaura 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 Hare Vishnu Priya Prana Dana Nadiya Vihari Vishnu Priya Prana Dana Nadiya Vihari Gadadhara Prana Dana Nadiya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Radhe Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe. Radhe Radhe, Radhe Govinda, Govinda, Radhe. Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol. Nittai Gaura Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol.
Oh, you.
Hey, oh, Radha Madhava. you are going on? It is a Kirtan called Subhalo. Jate Vu Bajabe. So you can come on. This should be here, but mic should be given. What sir? Acha, acha, chod. Oh, Nanda Nastakam. Ravi Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Itadale Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Bhaktaya Namo Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayivacha Patitanam Pamanidhya Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo Mahabhadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratise. Oh, we are discussing graduation of bhakti. And according to that stage of bhakti, the bhakts are called superior or inferior. There are some degradation. Gradation. All are okay. But still, we can honor them knowing in what stage the devotee is. Kanishta Madhyame Uttam. And then according to this, according to degree of bhakti, we can honor them. Otherwise, you cannot develop. So, first of all, we should know what is bhakti. This is the barometer, this definition of bhakti. So first we should all know what is bhakti, really. And then we should use this barometer. And then you easily decide that in what stage that bhakti. I think first it has been defined in Kapil Devhuti Shambhad. Kapil has instructed his mother about bhakti yoga, lakkhanam vi bhakti yoga shri. And he has told so many things. Can you tell something? You don't remember? Who remembers? Anyone? Oh, let me see that. Try to read all these things. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no upper shilka. Shilka means skin. No any hard thing. No seed. Only rush and rush. From top to bottom. So, any part of Srimad Bhagavat cannot be rejected. So first begin from Kapil Devhuti Shambhad. And here he has given definition of bhakti. Who was he? Kapil was son of Kardam Rishi. And who was Kardam Rishi? he was some manifestation of himself, Krishna. Yeah? Like Rishabhdev, Shaktyavesha avatar, like this. All can be told manifestation. And very soon, he retired from worldly life, gave up everything, and he went to do aradhana of his aradhare in forest, thinking that all world, this is like false. All the relations are false. Knowing this, he was not entangled and he left all. But he told Kapil Dev to help her mother, his mother. So one day, Devahuti asked some questions. I want to know the aim and object of all souls. What? He was Shaktyavesha avatar and he wanted to teach others by his career. Like Krishna obeys his father. No? He does aradhana at the bank of Radhakunda. No? I remember not that is. Anyhow, they do know how. Krishna has did aradhana of Shankar. And by that boon he received one son for know how. This is Laukiki Leela. Yes. So don't disturb in the middle. So Kapil Dev, he answered in so many chapters. Essence is that the life of goal is to attain pure bhakti. No prominency of grihastha dharma. Always entangled in grihastha dharma. Always involving a protection, supporting, nourishing their children and all these things. One day you will have to give it, possibly, if you are not giving up. So you should try to do bhakti. And what is bhakti? Lakhanam hi nirgunasya bhakti ujogasya udahrita ahetukya abhyavichari purushottam. This. But Rup Goswami, taking everything inside his definition, all this also, this also, and so many definitions are here and there. Also one rishi, Ishwari Paranuraktiri Ishwari, everything. So many. But it includes in Rup Goswami. And that is Anya Bhilasita Shunya. Jnan Karmadhyana Vritam Ankullena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti. Or in a brief use of explain. Try to hear very carefully.
Om Jnanatimaranasya Jnananjanasalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Srila Gurudev, ordered me to explain in brief this verse, which is so dear to all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, those who are the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. Because, as Srila Gurudev explained, taking the essence of all the previous definitions of pure bhakti and Hridayasya Praranaya, being inspired within his heart by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad revealed the supreme, most comprehensive and profound definition of pure bhakti which had ever been seen in the history of the whole existence. What is that? Anya bilashita shunyam jnana kama janabritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. What is uttama bhakti? It means the continuous, unbroken cultivation of all the endeavors of the body, mind and words, and also of the emotions, transcendental emotions of the heart, that is called bhav, which are meant exclusively for the welfare, for the benefit of Krishna. This is a description of the swarup lakshan, or the intrinsic characteristic of uttama bhakti. The continuous cultivation of all endeavors. Continuous how? Just like honey flowing from a jar. If you pour water, it may splash here and there, but honey will come in a very thick stream, unbroken. So when the chittabritti, the tendency of the heart, is flowing without any interruption or any obstacle in the service of Krishna, by heart, feelings, by body, by mind, by words, everything in his service, this is the intrinsic nature of uttama bhakti. Yet,
wrong. It is bhakti. It is bhakti. But when swarup lakshan and tatastha lakshan will be added to it, then it will be uttama. Otherwise, not. Only what spontaneous will not do, because who did it? And in 6 months he received God. But there was something like no swarup lakshan or tatastha lakshan was there. He was sakam. So it is bhakti by Krishna anushilanam bhakti. But when anukulyena Krishna anushilanam with anyabhilashita sunnam jnanam karma anacharit, then it will be uttam. Understand? Yes, then uttama bhakti. Otherwise, semanam of Krishna is not uttama. Again, clarify what I told.
So, this is the swarup lakshanam. That means the intrinsic characteristic of uttam bhakti. But it will not be called uttam bhakti unless the tatastha lakshan, that means the marginal characteristic, the extrinsic characteristics of bhakti, are there. So what is that bhakti has been described, swarup lakshan. But it will only be called uttam bhakti when those things which are not included in pure bhakti have also been rejected. That is described in the first part of the sloka. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana kanadyanavritam. If someone is endeavoring completely by body, mind and words and by heart, feelings in the service of Krishna, but they are not anyabhilashita shunyam, that means completely devoid even of a smell, the slightest trace of any other desire, and also they should not be completely free from karma or jnana, but their activities, their karma and their jnana, their knowledge, should not cover their bhakti. In other words, everyone has to do some karma. You have to eat, you have to walk and go here and there, take a bath, use the bathroom. These are all activities. But if someone has faith in karmakanda, fruitive activities, and thinks that this will support and nourish or uplift their bhakti, or they think that to neglect karma, that means the prescribed duties in the scripture, that by neglecting these, it will be detrimental to the cultivation of their bhakti, In other words, they have faith in karma, then that karma that they perform will cover their bhakti. And similarly with jnana, knowledge of the soul, the atma, a knowledge of Bhagavan will not present an obstacle. But if they cultivate jnana, nirvishesh jnana, in personal knowledge that Bhagavan, Brahma and Atma, they are one, then this will make a big obstacle and it will cover bhakti. So in essence, the continuous cultivation of all endeavors of the body, mind and words, and also internal moods, which are meant exclusively for the benefit of Krishna, and those activities are not covered by karma or jnana, and that person has not the slightest sense of any other desire other than desire for the satisfaction of Krishna, then his activity can be called Uttama Bhakti, or transcendental devotional service.
What is the meaning of Anukullena Krishna Anushilana?
So here, as I was trying to explain, that the cultivation of these activities, they are for the benefit of Krishna. I have not mentioned for the happiness of Krishna. Why? Because we see that sometimes in the lila of Krishna, because he's playing like doing narvat lila, human-like pastimes, some of the activities of his devotees do not seem to please him. For example, if Mother Yashoda will bind him, Krishna will cry. If she will twist his ear and give him a slap for stealing, then Krishna will become upset. So sometimes Mother Yashoda will chastise Krishna and this makes him become upset. But here Anukulyena indicates that this is for the benefit of Krishna, not necessarily for his immediate happiness. In other words, Mother Yashoda is thinking, if he will steal here and there, then if I don't discipline him, when he grows up he may become a dacoit and his life will be spoiled. So she'll twist his ear and give him some discipline, only to so that in the future he may be happy. So here Anukulyena means for his benefit. If we'll take the word Anukulyena to mean for Krishna's happiness, then there'll be some defect in the definition. Why? Because even demons like the wrestlers Chanur and Namustika, they were fighting with Krishna. They would beat Krishna with their fists and wrestle with him. And this wrestling of the demons with Krishna made him happy. He was happy to wrestle with them. But can it be said that those demons, they are doing bhakti? It cannot be said that they're doing bhakti. So here specifically, our acharyas have explained that the word anukulyena means that pratikul bhav rahita, that the activity should be pratikul bhav rahita, devoid of any antagonistic mood towards Krishna. Whether the activity makes him happy or not is immaterial. The point is that the person who is doing the activity should be pratikul bhav rahita, devoid of any antagonistic mood. And on the other hand, the activity may be giving Krishna happiness, but those demons, Chanur and Mustika, they never had Krishna's future or welfare in mind. They were full of antagonistic mood, and therefore, though their activity gave Krishna happiness, it cannot be called Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. So, to cover this topic...
Anukulyena, okay. But Anushilanam, why?
Anushilanam.
Yes. Why Anushilanam?
Now the word Anushilanam. Here...
The meaning is clear from Anukulyena. But why Anushilanam?
Here Anushilanam. There are two parts to this word. One is the Upasarga, the prefix is Anu. Anu means Nirantar, continuous, without any break. And Anu means Anugatyamayi, that bhakti is performed under guidance. In this world, if we want to hear, chant and remember, then it will only be bhakti when we're performing these activities under the guidance of Mahabhagwat Shuddha Vaishnav, any pure devotee, then it will be bhakti. Mahat kripa bina kon karma bhakti nai, krishna bhakti duri rahe sangsa nahikshai. Any activity that you do, even your hearing and chanting and remembering, unless it's done under guidance and with the mercy of any pure devotee, then it cannot be called bhakti. What to speak of being bhakti, even one's entanglements in the material existence will not become diminished. So here Anu means continuously, and Anu also means under the guidance of pure devotee. This means in this world it will be like that, and also eternally in that world we will always be under guidance of those who are perfect and nitya siddha. So this ingredient in pure bhakti is absolutely essential, anu. And shilanam, shil dhatu, means cultivation, practice, an activity. And shil dhatu has two aspects, that is called bhavrup and chestarup. Chestarup means the cultivation of activities. These activities have been divided into two parts, sadhan rup and karya rup. The sadhan rup also has two parts, that is called nivritti atmaka chestarupa and pravritti atmaka chestarupa. In other words, the endeavor that we perform has two aspects. One aspect is those things which are favorable for devotional service. We should try very hard to adopt them in our activities. And it is also an aspect of uttam bhakti to very strictly avoid those things which will be unfavorable. So sadhan rup has two aspects, to cultivate the things which are conducive, and to very carefully avoid those things which are detrimental. And karya rup means the activities which are performed not in the stage of sadhan. In the stage of sadhan, the devotee, he's engaging his senses, kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhanabhida, by the senses of this body and his mind, he engages them in the angas of bhakti. So this is called indriya prerana or indriya vyapar, an affair of the senses, and the activities are instigated from the platform of the mature senses. But when his sadhan becomes mature, then his activities are called karya rup. They're not coming instigated from the senses, but rather shuddha sattva visheshatma prema soyangsu samyabhak. The transcendental function of swarup shakti, bhakti shakti, has descended from the hearts of Nitya Siddha Parikara, the associates of Radha and Krishna, and come into his heart. So now his shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, hearing, chanting and remembering, is all undertaken as anubhavs, or the consequences of the movement of bhakti shakti within his heart. So this is a summary of chestarup, the endeavor part of this verb shil dhatu, shilanam. And the other side is called bhavarup. Service to Krishna is not only done by one's activities, but also by one's emotions. So this bhavarup has been divided into two parts, sthayi bhavarup and vyabhichari bhavarup. Sthayi bhavarup includes one relationship, permanent relationship, either the mood of santarati or dasyarati, servitor mood, or serving Krishna by having the mood of being his friend, sakyarati, or vatsalyarati, the mood of Krishna's parents, or madhuryarati, the mood of Krishna's sweetheart or beloved.
Thank you. But something you try to understand. Oh, some bahirus. Externally, it seems that anukulyanam and anushilanam both have one meaning. But really not. A tree may be anukul for Krishna, but not shilanam. He has no chesta, activities, no relation with Krishna. So his bhakti is not uttama or even bhakti. Not for braja tree, all are transcendental, but in general. So, a tree or anything, they can be anukul, favorable to Krishna, but they have no activity to serve Krishna. So this anukulta will not do. So that is why anusilanam is bhakti, I will do. So both are needed here. Now, we should come to point. This definition should be applied to Dhruva. He has some annabhilashi and no anukullena Krishna anushilana. He was like a karmi. But bhakti is of two kinds. pradhani bhuta and guni bhuta. Guni bhuta bhakti is called karma or jnana. Only where there is bhakti is prominent, karma and jnana are serving prominent, then it will be pradhani bhuta bhakti. So he has dhruva, pradhani bhuta, bhakti, and also fruity, shakam bhakti. So he will not touch this definition. So Vaishnava don't want to be like dhruva. You know? Something they can take, how he practiced, but not with dhruva. Oh, why you are sleeping? See, don't sleep. Oh, open your eyes, then something will come. Then apply it to guni bhuta. Guni bhuta. Like karmi, sakam, for he did for kingdom. So it will not be uttama bhakti. Not so much, like Prahlad and others. Like Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, like something. But purity, sakam. Then we should come to Devahuti. Oh, Kapil Dev taught so many things, so many teachings he gave. But in the last, what became? Nirvana Prapti. It has written, Nirvana Prapti. Who was his Aradhya Dev? Who was? Not like anything. To whom he used to worship? Krishna, Ram, Nisinga Dev, or whom? Oh, Brahma. Who Brahma? Who Brahma here? You should read thoroughly and then. Otherwise you cannot understand. You have not read anything. First read and then carefully. And then hear and then you can know. Try to hear very carefully. Here Devahuti was told what is bhakti, but the fruit of bhakti is not Brahma Nirvana. Brahma Nirvana, it is written. There was no special Aradhya Dev, Nisingha, Vaman, Kalki, Ram, Balram, or. So he, Brahma Nirvana, what means? Always he used to see Brahmin ho, all living, and in living entity, oh, he used to see Brahma. But Brahma is nirakar, nirgun, niranjan, no form, nothing, nirgunam. So it does not come in uttama bhakti definition. Any bhakti will refuse to take from Krishna all kinds of nirvana. There are so many kinds of nirvana, but anyone will not take it. So also we reject for pure devotees. Something is to be taken, what Kapil Dev told her, but not Brahma Nirvana or anything. Now come to Bharat Rishi. What kind of bhakti was of Bharat Rishi? And what was his career? Can you, Bhakti Shah?
So Srila Gurudev has instructed me to explain the history of Bharat Maharaj. So in
if you can tell the life history of Bharat, but try to apply that definition on him, that it was pure Uttama Bhakti or not. I want this. This is the point. Not to elaborate, explain so much of his life history. All knows perhaps. So in brief, you should do, and then apply that.
I will try to tell a synopsis of Bharat Maharaj and how his bhakti was graded in this definition of pure bhakti, anya bilashita shunyam bhakti. So Bharat Maharaj, as we know, was a very great king, and he was the emperor of the whole world.
Without guru, any cannot, disciple cannot be authorized of bhakti. Who was guru?
Oh yeah. So Bharat Maharaj, actually he was the son of Maharaj Rishabhdev. And Rishabhdev was actually an incarnation of Krishna. He was also Shakti Avesh avatar of Krishna. And Maharaj Rishabhdev was an emperor who, before he left his kingdom to his sons, he had 100 sons, before he left his kingdom to them, he sat them down and he explained all of the necessary knowledge that they would have to know in order to attain perfection in their human form of life. So the So by hearing these instructions, Bharat Maharaj became the emperor of the world after his father had retired and taken and shown the path for all living entities of how to become a perfectly renounced person within this world. The whole activities of Rishabhdev are explained, how he wandered everywhere throughout the world like an avadut, completely detached from all material pleasures and pains. Even he was not identifying at all with his body, not even wearing clothing. He was a Paramahansa Mahabhagavat and showing to the whole world how to attain the path of pure God realization. So after Maharaj Rishabhdev had left the kingdom, his sons, they also took to the, some of them took to this path. Some of them were called the Prachetas. And later on, they became educated by Narad Rishi, and they also attained liberation. But Bharat Maharaj understood the teachings of his father, and he took reign of the kingdom. But after reigning the kingdom for some time, he internally was so very devoted to Krishna, devoted to the Supreme Lord Bhagavan, that any attachment to the kingdom was completely insignificant to him, even though he owned so much wealth, vast wealth, had very beautiful family, everything. He gave it up as if, just like if a person goes into the toilet and passes stool, and then he leaves that behind. No attachment whatsoever. So in the same way it is described, Bharat Maharaj left his kingdom without any attachment at all, and he went into the forest to perform austerities, to practice the pathway of pure bhakti within the forest, and to do bhajan, to serve Bhagavan. So when he was there in the forest, he was performing in a very beautiful ashram on the bank of sacred river, and he was staying in very purified condition and always controlling his mind and senses and fixing his attention upon the service of Bhagavan. But one day, as he was there, absorbed in his meditations and actually tasting very high states of transcendental bliss, coming to the level of bhav he was experiencing within his heart. But here in the forest, he was all alone. He was without any other sangha, no other association. So when he was there, one day he saw a mother deer, and this mother deer was pregnant. And she was sitting on one side of a stream, and as she was sitting there, suddenly a very ferocious tiger roared very, very loudly behind her. And in very great fear, she immediately leapt up and she jumped across this stream. And as she jumped across, this baby deer that was within her womb, just about ready to take birth, immediately came out of her womb and fell there into the stream. And when she came to the other side of the stream, she looked back And she saw Bharat Maharaj standing there looking at this scene. And she looked with very pitiful eyes at Bharat Maharaj, as if to say, oh, please help my baby dear. And then she died there on the spot. So Bharat Maharaj, he felt compassion in his heart when he saw this baby deer lying there. And he went there and brought it out of the water and brought it back with him to his ashram. And now Bharat Maharaj began to take care of the baby deer. And with actual great affection, he was feeding the baby deer and he was petting the baby deer. And as the baby deer was growing more and more, he became more and more attached to it. And to the extent that he was sometimes kissing the deer, he was giving the deer